Well, hey guys, good morning. How are you doing? Graham here with another of my daily teaching videos. Today I want to continue talking about the foundations of the Christian life. And in a moment, we're going to talk about our birthright, our passport, our citizenship, literally as the citizens of heaven, but as the righteous citizens of heaven. I'm going to talk about how we can live completely free from sin for the rest of our life and indeed for eternity. Pretty good deal, hey? Hey, a couple of housekeeping things. If you're new to my YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button down there, if you will, and give the bell symbol below me a long press. Give this video a thumbs up and share it with your friends. And lastly, check out some of the links below. We have an email newsletter sending out once a week on Saturdays now with lots of goodies and news and travel details and events. Good. Lastly, thanks to all of my prayer partners as well. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate all of you who pray for Leah and I, for our family, for our, especially our mission work in France and the different things there. So we love you and we appreciate you. And if you're interested in joining that group, again, details below. Boom. Good. So we've been talking for a few days about foundations. And I've been reading every day, I won't do it today, but the parable Jesus told in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about two guys who are very similar. They both like sea view properties, and they both build houses near or on a beach. One guy builds his house on a rock, and one guy builds his house on the sand. And probably the guy who built his house on the sand had a bit of an easier time building the house. It's a lot easier to build foundations on sand than it is a rock, frankly. You've got a lot of work to get into that rock. And they probably both enjoyed their houses. Probably the guy with his house on the sand felt maybe a little superior because he lived a little bit nearer. He could get into the water a little quicker than Mr. Rock. But on the whole, they lived pretty near, pretty similar lives. And then one day they were watching Fox, CNN, MSNBC or whatever, and they heard a storm is coming. Hurricane Graham, we're going to call it, is blowing in. And they sat there thinking, it's miles away. I'm glad I don't live in Florida. Hi, Roy. And, you know, over the 2 or 3 days, they watched and the hurricane changed direction and it headed right for beach rock sand. And they began preparing and they went down to Home Depot or, you know, wherever and bought some boards and boarded up their houses. And then the day came where they got up and the skies were gray and there was a reporter on the beach being blown about with his Macintosh and his thing. And the Bible says the wind blew, the rains fell, and it beat on both houses. The same storm hit the same houses. The same storm, the same wind pressure, the same rain, the same torrents hit the house on the rock and hit on the house on the sand. What happened the next day? The house on the rock stood firm. The house on the sand collapsed. Okay. And for many years, I'd read that story and I'd think, ooh, you know, storms destroy houses. And one day it occurred to me, storms, the same storm hit the same house and the house on the rock wasn't destroyed by the storm. So storms don't destroy houses. Foundations destroy houses. That's the parable of this lesson. And what I'm doing every day is I'm just talking about some of the foundations upon which we should build our Christian life. What will cause you to have a Christian life that succeeds? And what will cause you to have a Christian life that fails? And I know this is true of many of you more than it is for me, but I've been a believer since 1984. I've been in full-time ministry since 1987. It's my point. I've been around the block a little bit, and I've been in you know, the UK and in France and in America and in Asia, different places. And like many of you, over the years, I've seen people who were walking with God. I know people who were preaching with me in the 80s who are no longer walking with God. I know people who led churches who are no longer walking with God. I know people who in the 80s, you know, we went out doing street ministry, youth work, and, you know, trying to lead thousands to Jesus who are not interested in God right now. And over the course of their life, storms have blown. Over the course of their life, and I'm not mocking, we all go through things, people have maybe lost a family member. People, you know, maybe somebody had cancer and they prayed and the person died and the faith was rocked, okay? A storm hit them, yeah? Maybe somebody's lost a child. Maybe a business went bankrupt. Maybe, you know, they had a, you know, on and on and on we can go. the storms of life blow. Sometimes there are external storms, sometimes internal storms. But again, the parable, the point of this parable, I believe, is that we all go through storms at times. I can't guarantee you a storm-free life. What I can guarantee you, though, what I believe God's word guarantees us, is solid foundations, a foundation that will stand, and that we can build our life on a foundation. And I want my life to be built on a foundation where if Jesus doesn't come or call, I will, at a good long Psalm 90, but long life he'll satisfy, assures his salvation, Psalm 91, actually. My point is, I want to go to heaven at a long, at a healthy age, let's say 99. Heaven at 99. But I want the same faith that I have today. I don't want my faith to be rocked. Boom. So every day I'm encouraging you to think about the foundations of your life and to work on them and say, Lord, show me. Lord, if I have a creaky foundation, you know, like maybe a creaky floorboard in a house or something, I want to know about it now when the sun is shining, when it's easy to repair, it's easy to tear up, to God said to Jeremiah, I want you to plant, but before you plant, you need to uproot some things. I want you to build, but before you build, you need to tear down some things. And I think in 2020, we're in a season where God is trying to uproot some things from our lives that we may live the life he wants us to live. And real quickly today, I want to encourage you to think about righteousness. I think one of the foundation truths for the Christian life, one of the litmus tests between a Christian who will walk successfully with God for the rest of their life and one who won't, is our understanding of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few quick thoughts about that. Just for a few moments, for 2 or 3 minutes, we're done. Come on, number one, I think the largest problem, the biggest problem on planet Earth is a lack of righteousness. I think all of our problems actually stem to this. Righteousness is the foundational issue of everything. We cannot come into relationship with God without righteousness. And, you know, it sounds obvious to us as believers to say that, but it really is important to say that, to know that, to think those things through. You know, if you're not righteous, you're out of the presence of God. You're not even in his family. But what often happens is we come to God. How do we, you know, just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. We come to God and we say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. We say, Lord, I've got nothing other. I throw myself on the finished work of Christ on the cross. And God saves us and he puts that garment of righteousness upon us. We come like the prodigal from the pigsty. And we say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he takes off our filthy piggy rags and puts his robe of righteousness upon us. And hallelujah, it's glorious. Here's a challenge, though. What then happens when we carry on walking with him? We begin to continue that walk with him. I think so often we begin to drift back to that relationship where we're trying to please God by what we do and what we don't do. And I want to keep this really simple today. For most of you, this is a confirmation what I'm sharing here, but it's vital that we get this. Righteousness is a gift. Righteousness has nothing to do with what you do and what you don't do. Let me say that again, because it can rub our religious feathers up the wrong way. Righteousness has nothing to do with your performance. Righteousness is not based on what you do and what you don't do. Righteousness is a gift from God. Now, again, usually somebody will hear me say something like that and immediately go, Graham, are you saying I can be righteous and do anything I want? No, I'm not saying that. And we'll get to that in a moment, or probably tomorrow. But I am saying you need to look at righteousness like a citizenship, like a standing you have with God. I am a British citizen, or a British subject would be the real word. Let me see if I can focus in on that. No. There we go. There is a British passport. A well-used British passport with visas and stamps all over it. Here's the point. I am British. I may feel British. I may not feel British. It has nothing to do with it. I was born British. I may talk British. I may not talk British. Excuse my grammar. It's a standing. It's a legal position. You know, I had to check out recently whether my kids were born in France. The mother is French. Father is British. So my kids have British citizenship for the rest of their life. And I actually asked the question at the embassy, do they need to apply for a passport or a British citizenship? And they said, no, they are British citizens. As long as they can prove their father was British, they are British. And you've been born into a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. And that has nothing to do with what you do and what you don't do. You are righteous. And what Satan loves to do is to drag us from that point and get us looking at how we live, or how well or how poorly we're performing, we're living. Did I read my Bible? Did I pray? Did I give? Did I tithe? Did I do? Many things that God wants us to do, but he wants us to do those things because we are righteous, not to become righteous. And the key to living, again, I'm going to talk about sanctification tomorrow, but the key to living and walking out a good Christian life is not trying to be righteous to do things, is knowing you're righteous and then doing things. Because I am British, I drink tea, or I drive on the left, or because I'm British, I like the Queen, I know, whatever. But my point is, I have that standing, and you need to know you are righteous. And I'll leave you with one last thought today. How do we walk on that? The Bible, how do we put that on? The Bible says, put on the new man, created after Jesus in righteousness and true holiness by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. So you have to put on that new man. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. One version says, awake to righteousness and you won't sin. But you've got to remind yourself of that, because the world, the flesh, and the devil comes and speaks to you through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan's the accuser of the brethren, and he's constantly coming to us and accusing us and saying, you're not righteous, you're not righteous. And the Bible says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. What does that mean? A testimony in this instance, it doesn't simply mean standing up and telling a story in church about how God came through in your life, although that's good. It means you praying, you saying, you testifying to yourself, to the Lord, to the world around you, that you have been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. And I know for many people, when they begin to do that, they don't feel it. For many people to literally stand up and say, I am as righteous as Jesus is righteous, They feel guilty. Satan says, yeah, but remember when you lost your temper yesterday? And I wouldn't say that if I were you. God will be mad at you. And no, God has taken all of his mad at you and put it on Jesus on the cross. And he wants you to stand and proclaim and embed his, let me end where we began. He wants you to have foundations in the righteousness of God. In righteousness, you shall be established. Isaiah 55, I believe it says. You will be far from fear, from a oppression, it shall not come near you. And we need our hearts, not a theological book of Romans righteousness. Read the book of Romans, understand it with your brain, then put it in your mouth, pray it in until you know that the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But then it talks about those who've received the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17 says, those who've received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Selah. Boom. Hey, I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'm actually going to be talking about sanctification. How do we live out the righteousness of God in our lives? So again, if you will, share this on social media. Give it a thumbs up if you're on YouTube. Subscribe, share, check out the links below. Love you guys. I will be back tomorrow. My name's Graham Jones, and I approve this message. Bye for now.